Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Come on. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Anjali Jariwala. Anjali, are you ready to do this?
Yes, I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. Let's do this. Anjali is a CPA, a CFP, and the founder of Fit Advisors, a financial firm providing comprehensive financial planning, investment management, and tax planning to physicians and small business owners. I'm excited to have you on. Anjali, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. So my background is in tax, hence the CPA. So I actually started my career at PricewaterhouseCoopers, one of the big four.
Right.
And after I was there for about 6 years, I wanted to do something different. And I didn't really know what that was. So I went through what I would call my midlife crisis at age 28. And knew that I kind of wanted to still keep up the tax background because I am a tax nerd at heart. I went through a lot of education and training to get the knowledge that I had. So I didn't want to completely give that up, but I didn't know what else was out there. So the funny part was, is my husband introduced me to personal financial planning. And my husband is actually a physician. And he at the time was getting his MBA and he took a personal financial planning class. And he came home that night and he told me, Anjali, this is what you should do for a living. And I was actually a little taken aback because I always thought financial planning was for ultra wealthy individuals. And I always thought it was focused around investments. So I didn't really realize that there was this whole avenue of financial planning that was really helping people make better financial decisions. So the more I started learning about it, the more interested I became. And that's when I decided to, you know, quit my PwC job. I started studying for the CFP. I started interning for a financial planning firm. Eventually, I got a job at a financial planning firm in Chicago. And it was kind of the clientele that I always thought that financial planning was focused around. So it was ultra high net worth individuals, more investment focused than anything else. And after doing that for about a year, I realized that I wanted to help people in my age group. So people similar to my husband and I, you know, young professionals with young children who life has just gotten more complicated and they need someone to help them make better financial decisions. And that's when I launched Fit Advisors about 3.5 years ago.
Excellent. And all too often, it's a matter of, you know, these are problems that we're personally experiencing. We're not finding a lot of solutions to them. So I think that there's got to be a better way. So what are some of those obstacles you find that young professionals that you serve often run into?
So I think there's a lot of components to it. I think the first is just a lack of time, right? So you get to a certain point where time is just very, very limited. So after working a long day, coming home, tending to the kids, putting them down, there's not very much time left to really focus on your own personal finances. And unfortunately, we don't really spend the time on our finances like we may do in our other lives. Like, you know, we may get a trainer when we work out and we may do all these other things to take care of ourselves, but we don't really spend the time to take care of our personal finances. And so I think people get to a point where there's usually some big life decision that needs to be made and they have no idea where to start. So that might be purchasing a home, that might be expanding family, that might be starting a business. And people come to a point where they realize that they don't have enough knowledge of their own finances to really have the information to make those big decisions that could be life altering for them.
Yeah, I think that's so true. We do spend money on professionals like trainers and people like that, but don't necessarily think to spend time or resources with somebody who can help you guide your finances as well. I'm curious, working with, and obviously you said that your husband's a physician, so you probably know him pretty well, and then working with other high performing type people, do you find that there are certain habits that really successful top performers have that other people can learn from?
Yeah, I think top performers, I would say they do spend a lot of time researching like important components of their lives, right? Like I have a lot of practice owners. I have a lot of really intelligent physicians, business owners, a wide range of highly functional people that I work with. And a lot of them do want that education, that background, and that knowledge. And most of the time, a lot of the people coming to me, they already have a basic understanding of everything because they've spent the time doing their own research, which I think is really important. So when they come talk to me, they know exactly what lack they have in their own knowledge and their own expertise and where they want my help with. So I think it's just a matter of being diligent. It's a matter of spending the time, because the best way for you to get help is to really have a basic understanding of where you're coming from financially, so that when you're searching for the right person to help you fill that gap, you know exactly what qualities and characteristics you're looking for versus trying to do kind of a blind search, because the financial planning industry is very varied in terms of the type of advisor. It's not as regulated as certain other industries are, so you never kind of know who you're going to get. So having some basic understanding of your situation, I think, is key to help yourself find the right person who's going to be a fit for you and your family.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And in a perfect world, there would be just perfect situations. And I think that if you're able to get to that point where I've done enough research to educate myself, and now I think I'm ready to engage with a professional and I'm ready to take their advice and ready to take their guidance, and that would be the perfect thing. But I also find, I think that maybe all too often, people do a little too much research, and it's just enough to make them dangerous, and then they're not going to take somebody else's opinion. And I think that that's the point where they're probably not a good fit to be working with a professional advisor. Do you ever encounter something like that?
I do. And I think, so there's the type of person who kind of wants that full comprehensive advisor, someone like me, who's really going to help them walk through like every aspect of their financial life. And then I do meet a handful of people that I talk to who are what I call like the do-it-yourself types, which I think those people are great. You know, they've done their research. They're kind of 90% of the way there, but they really just want that second opinion. And so I might not be the right fit, but there are advisors out there who'll just kind of do a one-time checkup, like, let's go through all of your stuff, let's see if you're on the right track, let's see if there's any changes or suggestions I have, and they give it back to that person, and then that person carries it out. I think you just have to know your personality type. A lot of the clients I work with, I'm also there to hold them accountable, so I can give them all the recommendations, but if I'm not there to kind of check up on them and make sure that they're doing it won't get done, right? So I think there's, and then there's the other extreme that you mentioned, like someone who just doesn't want to take anyone else's advice. And so be it, that there are people like that, and that's totally okay. Just hopefully they're not doing anything too aggressive or too outside the box where they may be hurting themselves long term, and that they might not want to ever work with an advisor, and that's okay as long as they're educating themselves and making decent decisions for their situation.
And that's a lot of the time, at least from my experience, one of the negative stereotypes about physicians in particular is that they are not necessarily very good investors, and that they are extremely intelligent, but that does not serve them well necessarily in the world of investing in things that they don't necessarily understand. So I think that accountability is such an important thing, and you can do such a great job for your client if they allow you to hold them accountable. With the financial planning process, obviously there's the engagement, and then you need to be able to have a good, open, and honest conversation with people where you're asking them a ton of questions, gathering information, but then there's also the actual implementation of the follow-through. Do you find that people have difficulty in any one part of the process over the next? Is it opening up, or is it the follow-through?
I think it depends on like that person's particular situation, it's usually the having the hard time following through is usually the item that they like the least. So the one that comes up consistently is trying to get someone's estate planning documents put together. That's the one that most of my clients tend to lag on. And it, you know, when we start working with them, it takes, you know, it could take up to a few years for them to get through the process. And I think it's a component of people think that, oh, like that's so far away, I have enough time, which anyone who's thinking that, don't think that because anything could happen. And then the next component of that is like, it's a little bit of a kind of a depressing process because you're kind of sitting there thinking through like, what will happen if me and my spouse or me pass away? Who's going to take care of the estate? Who's going to be guardian of my children? So I think people have a hard time just like making time to sit down and think about that. So that's the one that like comes up consistently for most of my clients, where there's just a little bit of a pushback and it takes a few more calls and emails from me to have them start that process.
Isn't that interesting? It is probably a combination of exactly what you said, of it's so long in the future, it's probably not going to happen to me. So therefore, I'm going to drag my feet and put it off and put it off and put it off. Have you found that there is a way to motivate people to stay on track and to get it done in a timely manner, or does it really just vary from person to person?
It does vary from person to person. I mean, my process is very hands-on, and it's a small practice because I try to spend a lot of time with each one of my individual clients. So it just depends. I have some where they can knock it out really quickly. Usually when I sit down with them and we have the initial conversation, I'm really walking through all the things they need to think about. So when they sit down with their attorney, they already have a framework of what to work off of. And then if they're stuck in terms of making a decision, usually we'll have a meeting scheduled and I'll ask them like, what's holding you guys up? Like, what's the one decision that you can't come to terms with? Well, let's talk through it. And let's see maybe from our conversations, if something comes out in terms of who you're going to list or what's holding you up. So I do a lot of that. So I think it's a process of, you know, having the client be aware and then bringing it up and then asking questions like, what's the hesitation on doing this? What's holding you guys back? And I think a lot of times just having like that open and honest conversation with the person gives them more clarity. And then it kind of pushes them to complete the steps they need to get to that finish line.
Nice. Yeah. Sometimes it is just that simple of asking the right questions and right, listening to the answers, right?
Right. Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of number crunching that goes on, but I would say like number crunching is a really important component of what I do. But the other side of it is really just having those conversations, right? It's really talking to the people, you know, making them feel like it's a safe space for them, having them comfortable with me. So when I talk to prospects, the first thing I tell them is like, you know, at the end of the day, whether I'm the right person for you or not, you really have to just find the person who you trust, because you're going to be having a lot of personal conversations with them. You're going to be opening up a lot to them, you know, things you may not tell anyone else. So you have to make sure the person on the other side is someone you can fully trust so that you can be open and honest. And that, I think that makes the planning process a lot easier. I think people are then more accountable because they understand the relationship that they have with their advisor and they kind of don't want to let them down, right? So they are going to do the work and do the actions, and they know at the end of the day, it's mutually beneficial because I'm here to help them, and they know like the quicker they get through these steps, the better off they're going to be.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that very much. And how was the transition, or perhaps there wasn't one, but certainly, well, I should just ask the question. When you were with, you said PwC, I believe, mm-hmm. Was there a lot of talk about emotions?
No, not really. So PwC was, you know, I worked with Fortune 500 clients, so it was very much focused on the work. I mean, obviously some of my clients I like because I got to know them personally, like we had good camaraderie back and forth, but it wasn't like that. And then in the actual financial planning firm I went to in Chicago, there was some talk about it, but not really, not to the extent that I do now. And I think it's just a matter of like, what kind of, you know, what kind of advisor you want to be and how the process evolved. I didn't start with having kind of these emotional kinds of conversations or deep conversations, but as I started to work with more clients and emotional stuff would come up, that's when I started to address it. Like, I have a lot of emotional anxiety when it comes to money growing up. You know, I'm a child of immigrants, so they came to this country with nothing, you know, built everything from scratch, sent us to school, you know, paid for all of that, which, you know, I'm so appreciative of. But there was always this kind of underlying stress around money and whether there would be enough. And so I think I carried that through adulthood. And I now realize, looking back, that because I had a lot of that stress and anxiety around money, it prevented me from making better financial decisions, which is what, because I'm so emotionally tied to my own money. And if anyone listening, like, my husband and I have a financial advisor, and it's because of that. It's, I can provide really great advice to other people because it's not my money, right? So I can come to it from like an independent third party perspective and provide that great advice. I can't do that for myself because I'm emotionally tied to my money. So I need an outside person to come in and tell us like what's okay and what's not okay, right? So I think, you know, for me being an advisor, having someone to help us through that process, I think is so important. That's why I kind of approach the relationship the same way with my clients. Like, if there is some sort of emotional trigger or something going on when it comes to money, we need to kind of uncover that and address it, because otherwise it's going to be really hard to make the process better. And especially for couples, when there's very different views on money in terms of how they grew up around money, their views on spending money, if there's polar differences, which there almost always is, because we tend to be with someone who's different from us. The first step is actually just trying to kind of come to terms with each of the person's respective views on money. And then if they're going to get married, or they're recently married, or even if they've been married for 10 plus years, like, how do we make that combination or that kind of joint finance relationship successful for the both of them? And it's not a one size fits all, you know, it's very dependent on the person and each of their personalities and their backgrounds.
Well, I think that's spot on. And I really commend you for understanding that about yourself. When did the light bulb come on and you said, you know what, geez, I act this way with money because of the way that I was raised with money? Or have you always known that?
I've kind of always known that. I had more of an epiphany like after I met my husband, who is, you know, which we've been together for almost 10 years now. And it was a realization, because he kind of came, he has a similar background, you know, immigrant parents, grew up very middle class like me, but he is completely different on his views on money. He doesn't stress out about money. He doesn't really worry about it. He kind of has the belief that it'll be fine long term and it'll be okay, and we're doing what we should be doing. And so I started thinking about that. I was like, how is it that we have similar backgrounds, similar culture, and we can come to this relationship with totally different views on money? And so being married to him was helpful, because I was able to let go a little bit. And then he actually got a little bit more strict on his spending, seeing kind of like what I'm bringing to the table and not me seeing what he's bringing to the table. And we decided to use an advisor, you know, about 2 years ago, because we made a big transition. We moved from Chicago to California. We bought a home. That was a little bit of a stretch in terms of our budget. And I was stressing out a lot about money. I also had just started my firm, so, you know, cash flow was a little tight. And I came to it like running all my numbers, but I needed someone else to look them over. And my husband wasn't going to be the one to look at the numbers. And even if he did, I wouldn't believe him, because it's just how marriages are and relationships are. So I would start running these projections, and my husband would say, like, do you run projections like this for your clients? And I was like, no, like, I just run ultra conservative projections for us. And he's like, well, why would you do that? That makes no sense. And I was like, you're right. So then I was like, I think we need to use someone. He's like, I completely agree. So our advisor purely helps us with our cash flow, because that's the one piece of our financial picture that causes me a lot of stress. You know, the investments, everything else, you know, I can take care of that, but it's the cash flow. So when he talks to us, it's funny, like, he runs all of our numbers, but we spend most of the time just having these kind of emotional conversations back and forth. You know, me expressing my concerns, my husband expressing his concerns, and then him just providing us his like third party unbiased feedback, which is great. We come out of those conversations feeling much better. And then when I get stressed out again, we book another meeting. So that's how it works.
Well, I think that's awesome. And that's evidence right there of the value of an advisor for anybody listening. For that right there, it's so tough for a company and the people inside the company to have these kinds of conversations. And I think it's even tougher for a husband and a wife, or for partner, whatever, to have these kinds of conversations. So I think that's awesome. Well, Anjali, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
So my difference-making tip is to be educated. So what I mean by that is have a good understanding of your personal finances. You make sure you know kind of how much income is coming in, how much are you spending, how much are you actually saving, you know, what your investment portfolio looks like. If you're sitting all in cash, that's fine. But I think you need to first sit down and have a really good understanding of where you currently are. And then from there, you can address what the gaps are in your situation, or if there's big financial decisions you need to make. That's always the great starting point. And no matter what, even if you're a non-financial person, you should have a basic understanding of your current financial situation. If you're in a relationship, you tend to let the other person handle all the finances. I encourage you to also get educated on that, because you never know, if something were to happen to that person, the burden will fall back on you, and kind of dealing with a big loss like that, it's really hard to then try to get up to speed. So that's my tip.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
And Anjali, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? I know that you also have a podcast. What is the name of it? Where can they find that?
Sure. So my podcast is called Money Checkup. You could find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. It's on all the mediums. I do a lot of deep dive into a lot of the financial planning topics that I see in my practice, from kind of very technical tax matters all the way to kind of emotional money conversations. So that's Money Checkup. And then you could also learn more about me from my website. It's www.fitadvisors.com.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Anjali your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to her website, listen to the podcast, and I will list those in the notes of the show so you can easily find them. Thank you again, Anjali.
Thank you for having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
If you're an RIA or looking to become one, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. It's no mystery why they're the number one choice for RIAs who want to be the ultimate solution for their clients. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.